know. And we're excited about the way the small groups have gone so far. And thank you all for your support of those. Trail Life will be tomorrow night at 6 in the Family Life Center. So for anybody who is part of that, please don't forget about that. Ladies Quilters are meeting this Tuesday at 9 a.m. in the Good News Classroom. And every Tuesday this month. So ladies, don't forget about that. MOPS will also be meeting on Tuesday. Morning session from 9:30 to 11 and evening session from 6 to 7:30. And if you are interested in helping, whether you've been able to help in the past or not, as far as being a mentor or helping with childcare, please see Sue Allen or Susan Bonney, and they will be glad to plug you in and get you involved with that. Wednesday evening, we have a Nazarene Discipleship International, or as we still call it, Sunday School meeting, for those on the Sunday School Council at 5, and then regular activities at 6. So don't forget about those things, especially those on the Sunday School Council. Don't forget about the meeting at 5. Grief Share will be Friday from 10 to noon. And then Saturday, we have the men's breakfast at 9 in the Family Life Center. And gentlemen, let Wayne know if you're planning to attend so he knows how many to plan for. But, man, that's a mouthful. We've got a full week. I think Thursday may be the only day that you all get a pass without something going on here at the church. So we've got a lot of things going on, but that's exciting. And we're glad for all the different ministries we have going on, and thank you for the different ways that you all support those. Next Sunday evening, October 9th, at 6 p.m., the on-campus group here will be going to Cookeville because we are having a district mission rally. So think back, think way, 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 way back to a time before COVID. And this was something we used to do fairly often, but we've not done, you know, in recent memory because of that. Our district superintendent, Brother Rhonda Witt, will be speaking, and so it'll be a good time to interact and mingle with some other Nazarenes from our area and get to hear him preach for us. But that will be next Sunday evening for those who are here on campus. We'll be going to that service instead of being here. The church board will be meeting on that following Monday evening, the 10th, at 6:30 in the conference room. So church board, don't forget to pick up your packet next Sunday morning from Wayne. And I know the pastor's always good to email those things out as well, so don't forget about that. Continue to bring in candy for Fall Festival. You all have done a fabulous job, but as you see bags of candy on sale, please make sure that you continue to pick those up and bring them in. And we are excited about Fall Festival and all the different people we're going to reach in the community. The NYC envelopes we've mentioned for several weeks for that fundraiser are still in the foyer. If you've not had a chance to grab one of those, please grab one of those and stuff some money in it to support our teens as they go to Tampa, as I mentioned earlier. It was brought to my attention last week, and I wish I had a good excuse for this, but I do not. I had totally let September slip by and had not put the alabaster box out, and September's when we normally collect that offering, so we're going to do as we normally do and just have it out for the month of October. And we'll just have you all put in your alabaster money as you think about it. We've got some extra boxes up here. So we're just putting it a month behind because of my forgetfulness. So, but fortunately, whenever we send money into the general church, they always take it. It doesn't matter if it's late or not. So we're going to be in good shape there. But thank you to everyone who brought that to my attention. And like I said, some of my apologies that I had forgotten about that. So don't forget about alabaster to support the building of churches, hospitals, schools, and other buildings for ministry for Nazarene missions around the world. Many other things go out in the newsletter each Friday. Please make sure that you're getting that, reading it to see what else is going on. As many things as I just told you, there are that many more in the newsletter. So please make sure that you're reading that. If you're not getting that for some reason, let us know, and we will try to work that out. I know sometimes it goes in the spam folder, but we will try to figure out why you're not getting that and make sure that you are receiving it in the future. Thank you all again for being here, supporting the church with your attendance this morning and with your tithes and offerings.
Good morning, Crossville Church. I don't say it as good as Jesse does. Part of my duties as the church board secretary is to honor our pastors every year in October with Pastor Appreciation Month. And today I'd like to do that. As a representative of our board and our board as a representative of you, I'd like to give a card and a donation to Pastor Jack. Who is our newest pastor in our organization, and to Pastor Tyler. who has now completed 1 year with us. So, and to our head pastor, Pastor William, who has been 3 years with us. And that concludes our ceremony.
wasn't sure if it was my turn or not, but that's okay. Stand with me this morning as we worship together, if you're able, and then we'll pray and sing a little bit. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time to gather in your house and worship you. God, we thank you that you alone are worthy of our worship. God, this morning I pray that you would help us to realize that and that we would worship you in spirit and in truth this morning, and that we would leave here today knowing that we have had an encounter with you. God, thank you so much for everything you do for us. We love you. We praise you. Be with us this morning in this time, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. There's a scripture out of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and this is Elijah when he's having this showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And this is what he says. He says, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him, but if Baal is God, then follow him." I want you to understand something. The days that we live in today are the days of Elijah. The world needs a voice crying, follow him. And that's exactly what we're going to do together this morning. But I pray that you would understand that.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on cloud, shining like the sun. At trumpet calls, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the tribes becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the
Yeah.
I'm thankful this morning that we can trust in Jesus. Regardless of what's going on in the world around us, we can still trust in Him. Even when it seems like the world's falling apart, even when it seems like things aren't coming together, I'm thankful that we have a God we can trust in this morning. Say anything else about the God that we serve, we can say that He's been good. We can trust Him, and His goodness is evident not just yesterday, but today and tomorrow and every day after that. I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness that I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkness. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Lord, this morning we do sing of the goodness of God. Wow, just to think of how you have been so good to us, to think of the ways that we have trusted you. We realize, Lord, this morning you have not failed us. You are not ever going to fail us. And we're so thankful, Lord, that even in the fire, in the flood, whatever the circumstance of life may be, thank you, God, that you are here and that you are working in our lives. And this morning, we can trust you. So we sang that song, Lord. My heart rejoiced in the fact that I have trusted you and I've watched you be faithful when everyone else around might not be. Thank you, Lord, that you still are. And so we rejoice in that this morning. We rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in your grace. We rejoice in your mercy. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have come to do something in our hearts and in our lives in this service this morning. And so, Lord, we believe that you are going to speak through your word and that we're going to hear from you, not just a man who stands behind a pulpit, but we're going to hear from you this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless. May your Holy Spirit move on our hearts and lives. May we be open and submissive to your word this morning. And at the end of the service, Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond in a way. First and foremost, that you want us to. But secondly, that we'll be glad that we did. And we give you glory, honor, and praise this morning for this time that we have together. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are glad to do that. Mary has been going through some health issues, and this morning, as a part of our service, we'll do this. Pastor Tyler, Ken, Pastor Jack, you guys come. Any of the congregation, if you'd like to come and stand behind these men as they are here this morning, you're more than welcome to do that. We believe, based on what the book of James tells us, that those who are sick can come to the Lord, ask to be anointed, and the Bible says that it is the prayer of faith that saves the sick. It's not in the oil, it's not in the person doing the anointing, it's in the prayer of faith that is prayed and God touching and helping. Lord, Mary, this morning we anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that we can come to you this morning. We've sang about the goodness of God. We've sang about trusting Jesus. We've sang these things this morning and have rejoiced as we have sung them. But Lord, right now is where the rubber meets the road, where we begin to believe and where we begin to trust. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray for Mary and ask you that you would touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. May she feel your healing touch even now. And may, God, she know that you are in control and that you are at work and that you are able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. And so, Lord, we believe you, God, this morning that you're going to touch her, that you're going to help her. that you're going to be with her as she undergoes these tests this week. And Father, that you're going to move in ways that we can't imagine. You are a mighty God. You are the God that heals us. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. May you bless her, touch her, help her. Bless these that are standing around. May we believe you and may we touch you this morning. As that woman reached out and touched just the hem of your garment, may we reach out and touch your garment today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Mary. Amen. Praise God. And Mary just tells me that the children will be dismissed now to go to children's church. Well, I snuck out on you, didn't I? It's always good to be able to get away for a few days. Susie and I went to over near Augusta, Georgia, and we got to see her brothers and be with them. And on Monday and Tuesday, I want to tell you what I did. I sat in a rocking chair and did nothing. Absolutely, positively, nothing. Except watch the birds, listen to the fountain, and feel the breeze as it blew through Louisville, Georgia. That's not Louisville, Georgia. That's Louisville, Georgia, just so that you'll know. And got to go see my mom and our youngest daughter. We went on to Alabama and got to see them. And so it's good to be back home. It's good to sleep in our own bed. And before I move any further, I'm going to wish Miss Rosemary a happy birthday today. And we're yes, that's great. I think you're 29, right? That's what I thought. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 35 down through verse 36 here in just a moment. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 35, going down through verse 36. Over the past few times that we've been together on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at those words come and filled in the blank after that. The first Sunday we talked about come and drink. We looked at the Samaritan woman, all that she had done, and how Jesus presented her with the reality of living water. The last time that we were together, we looked at Jesus' statement to the crowds when Jesus said, come and rest. We looked at Jesus calling them and calling us to come to him with our restlessness and our burdens and find peace and joy to our souls. We learned that we could be yoked together with Jesus. And he would carry our burdens for us. And today we're going to look at an early event. You know it's a very early event if it's in John chapter 1. An early event in the ministry of our Lord. And in this event, Jesus says, come and see. Come and see. Now, to be quite honest with you, I've always loved this event in our Lord's life. I've loved his response to the question that he's asking, and I do know that those who were there and who were asking the question had absolutely no idea what they were eventually going to experience. And Jesus did exactly what they asked, but something happened in all of this that I want us to look at this morning. And follow along with me as I read from John chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them and following, and they asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. And the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked, and Philip said to him, come and see. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've always loved this passage of Scripture. I said that just a few moments ago. I look at it and see that, especially when you start with the Gospel of John there in verse 1, chapter 1, you see that John is really beginning to try to encapsulate the beginning of Jesus' ministry into basically just a few short paragraphs. He doesn't give us the birth of Jesus, the birth of our Lord, but he gives us more. He doesn't start with the Bethlehem narrative. He begins with the time before time began. Because he says there in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he moves on down into verse 14, where he tells us the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from there, he jumps on to John the Baptist and begins to talk about the baptism of Jesus. You pick up with verse 35, and I know I've covered a lot of verses right there, but you pick up with verse 35, and there you find two of John's disciples following Jesus. One of them we know was Andrew. There's a lot of speculation as to who the other disciple was. Some people say that it was possibly Philip, who we meet in just a little bit in the passage. Or some say that it could have been John himself. We don't have any idea who it was. We simply know that one of them was Andrew. And Jesus is very direct with them when he turns around and he says to them, "What do you want?" To which they said, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" To which Jesus simply says, "Come and you will see." Or, as some translations put it, just "come and see." Now, the entire narrative that you've got going on here, it interests me because these were followers of John. These were disciples of John. These were members of John the Baptist's first church. Come on, you can smile. And all of a sudden, a new person comes along. They've heard John talking about this one who they saw. They've heard John call him the Lamb of God. And they leave John the Baptist's first church and go to the first church of the Nazarene. Jesus was a Nazarene, wasn't he? I'm not making fun of all this. I'm just trying to get you to see. Read the Bible sometimes with just a little bit of imagination. Put yourself there, you know. And you find this going on. We don't know if Jesus perceived that they were there, if they made a noise. But we do know that he turns around and he says to them, what do you want? Their presence is there. And we do know what their reply was. And Jesus basically just says, "Come on, go with me." What appears just on the surface, it's just a simple, ordinary request and a reply. It's far greater than just something simple and ordinary. What you see here is, as one commentator said, a profound spiritual and theological emerging. The dialogue between Jesus and the first disciples needs to be read on two levels: the ordinary, everyday level, and the deeper, symbolic and spiritual level. This was something that was happening. I don't think these guys understood what was really happening in them or what would happen to them. But you find here something is happening. And I love it. And I said a moment ago, reading the Bible with a little imagination, you can't get into heresy that way. But you can put yourself there. I love to read and think about how all this went down. And I want us to see that in this everyday happening of someone saying, "Where are you staying?" and someone saying, "Come and see," I want us to see what Jesus did for these guys and what he wants to do for you and for me in our daily lives. The first thing that I want you to notice here is there is some curiosity. There's curiosity here. Look at verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Verse 39, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." I found out a long time ago that most any relationship that is meaningful begins with just a little bit of curiosity. I mean, when Susan Mathis met William Boney on that August day back in 1978, she was indeed curious and fascinated by that young man. And look what her curiosity got her into. You know? All joking aside, these disciples, they had been with John for a little period of time. John was a strange fella by all accounts. I mean, he was something of a curiosity himself. I mean, we know he was clothed in camel hair and ate locusts. And some say that locusts there were the pods like grow on locust trees. My grandma Bonnie out in her yard had two locust trees. And there was some fruit that came off of those things. And I'm going to tell you, it did not smell good and I would not want to eat it. But they were there. Some say he's talking about insects. I'm going to tell you, either way, if you're eating locusts off that locust tree or insects, you're just a little bit strange. He was preaching a message, though. He was preaching a message unlike anything that had been preached for 400 years. Remember, there had been no prophets. There had been no one speaking for a long, long time. And here he comes along preaching a message of repentance. Now, they were there as Jesus passed by, and as John looked at Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, John had evidently been talking about the one who was to come. He had been telling them about the one who he had baptized, that he saw the Spirit of God descend upon him. And he says in those words, he says, "I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." Now, I want to tell you, that must have stirred something within them. That their curiosity had to be stirred just a little bit. The wheels were turning about who this man was and what this man was about to do. I mean, a whole lot of people saw John as maybe one who was going to come and lead a revolution against Rome, but John wasn't doing that. He was preaching repentance. Maybe this one that he was pointing at was going to be the one who would come along and bring about a revolution that would take them away from Rome. Some, I think, just saw John as some strange speaker. But something about what John had said about Jesus, as I've already said, it stirred something within Andrew and this other disciples. I said it a moment ago, but any relationship that is meaningful, I think, begins with just a little bit of curiosity. When you first learned about Jesus, it might have been as a small child, or it might have been as an adult, but something about what you were being told and what you heard stirred something within you that made you want to find out who Jesus was and what he could do. I've had people all across the years talk about how they watched somebody that they knew. They watched them as they went through situations and circumstances, and they wondered in their own mind, how in the world can they survive what is going on? Can I tell you what happened right there? Curiosity began to get stirred. And later on, they came because they watched that person. They watched the consistency, the stability of that person in their walk for Christ. As they watched them, something began to happen in them, and they wanted that same kind of help. They wanted that same kind of hope. They wanted the Jesus that other person knew. You see, it's so important for us to realize that we are here not just to attend Crossville First Church of the Nazarene. We are here to stir some curiosity up in the people who are around us. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we're salt and light. Well, I want you to know, salt will make you thirsty. In difficult times, people are drawn to the light. You see, there's a certain amount of curiosity that draws us to Jesus. And in any meaningful relationship, it always starts out with wanting to know that person. Well, there's curiosity here. But not only is there curiosity here, there is also discovery here. There's discovery. Look at verse 39. "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Andrew and this other disciple, they are seeing something that they had never seen before. Something about this man that John had talked to them and had told them about, something began to stir in them. We don't know if Jesus simply sensed their presence or if they made their presence known. But when they asked Jesus, where are you staying? Where are you abiding? Jesus said, come go with me. Let's find out. It's kind of interesting when I look at this, and this is kind of a side thing. It's kind of an interesting thing for me because they did not say, where do you live? I mean, they ask, where are you staying? Where are you abiding? Where are you residing is the most literal translation. They called him rabbi, so they understood that he was a great teacher. And they wanted to go, and they wanted to sit under his teaching. Rabbi, where are you staying? The reality of this, and like I said, this is the way my mind kind of works. This is all a precursor to what Jesus would say to them when you read Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, and also Luke chapter 9, verse 58. Because both of those verses are basically identical. Because Jesus told them this. He said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I mean, the whole emphasis of those two passages, I think when you really get right down to it and when you read them in their context, basically what you find out there is those two passages are telling us that it costs something to follow Jesus. I've been in a preacher's home all my life. I went to church when I was 2 weeks old. That was my first time to go to church. And probably could count, you know, on two hands, maybe my on my toes too. How many times I've missed church just haven't done it. I told you before that I asked Susie one time. I said, "What do normal people talk about?" That was suggesting that maybe I was a little abnormal. You know, I never lived in a layman's home. My dad was a pastor when I was born, and when dad passed away, he had been pastoring for 58 years. I've lived in parsonages for a good portion of my life. It wasn't until we moved to Muscle Shoals that we actually bought our own home. We were thinking about it one time when we were in Oklahoma, and within a few months after us thinking about it, it didn't come to fruition, and we moved to Muscle Shoals and lived with Mom and Dad for about 3 months and then bought us a house. I remember thinking when I was painting the room in that house, I wonder what the church people will think about this color of paint. And then I came to the realization, it's my house. It doesn't matter. You know. But I can tell you this much. That what Jesus said about those that leave and follow him will have fathers and mothers and houses and lands. And that's been true. More true than you will ever, ever know. But Jesus is saying here, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I mean, the reality of this is that Jesus had no place to call his own. We have no idea where he was staying, with whom he might be staying. We simply know that where he was at was not his home. More than likely, he was either staying in someone's guest room or, like a whole lot of people who are homeless, he was sleeping under the stars. The place is not important, folks. But what they discovered is, you see, this was a place of discovery for them. John had declared who he felt Jesus was, and we understand that God was at work, and that Andrew and the disciple had only taken John's word for it to this point. John said that he saw the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus, but once again, all they had was John's word for it at this point. But some point in time, during all of this time that they were together, and some commentators believe because of the wording here, that it could have been not just from early that morning until 4 that afternoon, but that they could have been together for basically a whole day. Sometime during those hours that they were together, they discovered who Jesus was and came to believe in who He is. You should have said amen. Because I'm telling you, that happened. They came to understand who He was and came to believe in who He is. You see, they made the discovery of a lifetime. Most of the time, curiosity leads to discovery. I mean, it really does. I mean, many of the things that we enjoy right now, they came about because someone got curious about either how they could make life better or how they could make life more difficult. Exhibit A. You know? You begin to think about it. All of the things that really we enjoy, somebody got curious somewhere. And the reality for these disciples was that curiosity led them to discovery. To the discovery of who Jesus is and His mission and what He was going to do. The psalmist said, Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, what is the psalmist challenging us to do there? The psalmist is challenging us to be a little bit curious. Taste and see. I've heard all my life that the proof's in the pudding. Haven't you? And I'm going to tell you, there have been times that I've tasted real good stuff, and there have been times that, oh well. Early on in our ministry, one of the ladies found out that I really did like pumpkin pie, and so she decided that what she was going to do was she was going to make us some pumpkin pie. And we go over to eat with them, and we're there, and she brings out this beautiful piece of pumpkin pie, whipped cream right on top. I mean, we're getting close to time to serve that kind of stuff. I said, aren't you going to serve your family any? And she said, no, my family doesn't like it. I said, well, she said, I've got this whole pie just for you. Susie and I tasted it. And immediately knew that she had mixed up her salt and her sugar. Yeah. And let me tell you what we did that day. We ate every bite of that piece of pie and Cool Whip. And went home and drank gallons of water. The proof is in it. The psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, he's challenging us to become curious. He's challenging us to discover who God is and what God wants to do in our lives. Now, on a positive note, discovery, we're discovering that He is God, that He can take away our sins of the world, that He can change us. But on a negative note, as far as many of our minds are concerned, He's telling us that it's going to cost us something. It's ultimately going to cost us our lives. There's curiosity here. There's discovery here. But I want you to notice finally, there is a calling here. Look at verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see. Now, I want to tell you before I get started in this passage on this one point that there is enough material here for several sermons. The good news is you're not going to hear them all this morning. Okay, I mean, there's all kinds of information, but Andrew is an amazing person. Now, Andrew was not one of those kind of people who would stand out in a crowd. He was not a social butterfly. You know those kind of people that I'm talking about. They go into a room and they work the room. And I'm not talking about they're working it in a bad way. I mean, that's just them. They want to greet everybody who is there. They want to find out what's going on in everybody's life. And then there are those people like me that I go in and I stand there. And, you know, and eventually I will get around to try to meeting some folks. But Andrew was this kind of person. He stood there, as one author said about a pastor, he didn't have a bowl you over personality. I think Andrew was always in the background watching and listening. Now, and we know from John chapter 6, verse 8, that Andrew brought the young boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus. Andrew saw the need. Andrew knew that somebody was going to have to provide supper for that group. Dinner for those who are more formal. And there he was. Now, I'm going to chase a rabbit for just a second. It took great faith on Andrew's part to say 5 loaves and 2 fishes are going to feed 5,000 plus. You think about that for just a moment. He knew who Jesus was and was the closest to bringing somebody of anybody else. And so he brings the boy to Jesus, and a miracle happens. Here in the early part of John, Andrew knew who Jesus was. And who does he go and find? The person closest to him in all the world, and that was Peter, his brother. And he brings Peter to Jesus, and Jesus knows who Peter is and what Peter will do. And he says to Peter, you from this point on, you're going to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. Jesus understood that there would be a meeting at one point in time when Jesus asked all the disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter sat there after listening to everybody else talk. Peter bursts out and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to Peter at that point, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I'm telling you that on that confession, the church is going to be built. And it was. Isn't it amazing? It all started out because somebody got curious, made a discovery, and brought somebody else into the presence of Jesus. Jesus goes on from there. The next day, and he sees Philip. That's why they think that Philip might have been the other disciple. He goes on and he finds Philip, and he calls to Philip, and Philip immediately starts following Jesus, but the first thing that he does, he goes and finds his best friend called Nathanael and says, come and see the man that we found. It's the guy that Moses and the prophets all wrote about. He is Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, Nazareth. It was the wrong side of the street, folks. Wrong side of the tracks, ever how you want to say it. Nazareth was not the place that you'd want to sell houses. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And I love Philip's response. Come and see. You know what's happened? It's gone full circle. It's gone from Jesus saying to those two guys, come and see, to now one probably of those two guys saying to someone else, come and see. Folks, there are two kinds of callings. There are two kinds of callings, and you find them right here in this passage. There is the calling of Jesus calling these folks to be his disciples. But the other calling is what's so important for you and me this morning. It's not Jesus calling us by name saying, come and be my disciple, although that is what he is doing. You do understand that, don't you? That when you become a Christian, he has called your name and you are now one of his followers. And he has requirements of you as his follower. Amen. But what you see here is not the calling of the apostles. You see common ordinary people whose curiosity got the best of them going to someone else and saying to them, I want you to come and see this person that I've met. You know what? I realized right at that point in time, as I was typing away the other day, that those words were basically in the first sermon that I preached out of this series, Come and Drink. Jesus has been talking to this woman. They've been discussing her life and all the things that are going on in her life. And what does she do? She goes back to town and she tells everybody in that town, come and see. The actual wording in the New International Version is come and meet. It's the same thing. I'm not going to squabble over those two words. Come and see. Come and see a man that's told me everything that I have ever done. Surely this is the Messiah. I don't know what that does for you, but I'll tell you what it does in William. It tells me I don't have to know every plan of salvation under the sun. It tells me I don't have to know all of the theology that comes into this thing of regeneration, justification, regeneration, adoption. I don't have to know all the theology. I just have to know how to say, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Conclusion. The reality of all this morning is, folks, that Jesus has either already said to us or is saying to us this morning, come and see. Come and see. Come and see how He can change your life. Come and see the new life, the abundant life that only Jesus can give. Come and see. Hopefully that'll stir a little curiosity in you. And as the old saying goes, curiosity might have killed the cat. But I'm going to tell you, curiosity that you find here brought life to every person that walked into the event. They discovered who Jesus was, who Jesus is, what Jesus could do. And folks, when you look at what happened, their lives were never, ever the same again because they were willing to come and see. Then there's the calling. They received it and immediately began to follow out. And they began to tell everybody around them, come and see. We make it so difficult. I mean, we really do. I said this a minute ago. I got ahead of myself in my notes. We really do make it difficult. We create a lot of fear in ourselves because we don't know all the theology. We don't know all the things. And so we're afraid that we might get something wrong, and we surely don't want to get something wrong and embarrass ourselves. I'd rather embarrass myself and bring somebody to Jesus than not embarrass myself and them go to hell. You see, the Bible tells us that He's not going to let His word return to Him void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which He's given it. You may make a mess of it, but the Holy Spirit will take your willingness, your desire, and allow something to happen in their heart that could change their heart and life, but not only their heart and life, it could change their entire family's lives. Trust me, if we can get people interested in Jesus, they'll come out of curiosity sometimes and discover who He is and they'll follow Him. All that is required of you and me, though, is to say to them, come and see. Come and see. I love this passage of Scripture. And I hope it bugs you all week long. And I hope you'll say to every person you meet, come and see. Come and see. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your word. We've talked about the living water. We've talked about the rest. But this morning, Lord, we looked and saw that You said and heard You say this morning, come and see. The reality of it is, Lord, we all know people. Every person in this room knows someone that they simply need to say to them, come and see. Philip didn't have a great theological degree. Philip hadn't had any teaching other than maybe just a few hours with Jesus. But something in his heart and his life said that he had to say to his friend, come and see. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to have enough boldness and enough love in our heart for the people that we meet to simply say to them, come and see. Come and meet a man who's told me everything that I have ever done. Surely this is the Messiah. Come and see. Thank you, Lord, that if we are willing, and even though we may stumble and stammer when we're trying to say it, if we are willing, the power of the Holy Spirit will speak to hearts and lives in ways that we never could if we will just simply say, come and see. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for the way they have listened so attentively this morning. But oh God, I pray that it would bug us every time we meet somebody. May your Holy Spirit nudge us. May we be compelled to say to those people that we meet, come and see. Come and see. Thank you for this time that we've had together. Bless those that need your touch this morning. Bless those who are having tests run this week. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your hope. May you go with us as we leave this place. We are entering the mission field when we walk through those doors. So Lord, help us to say to everybody that we meet, come and see. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. What are the three words of the week? Come and see. Come and see. Those of you that are going to NYC, going to be meeting right down the hallway here. Be sure, and if you're planning to go, you need to be there. You got to be there. That'll happen. Remember the services tonight. We'll get that Zoom. If you want to be a part of the Zoom session for the Good News group, that'll be sent out this afternoon. I'm so glad you were here this morning. Thank you for being here. May God bless you. Let's tell them to come and see.